Hey there, everybody. It is December the 15th, 2010, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. There is so much breaking LGBT news right now that I cannot handle it myself, so I have called out the big guns to help me process. First up, I am welcoming back to the show Kathy Renna. In her 14 years at GLAAD, Kathy Renna served as a primary spokesperson and their national news media director. Since leaving GLAAD, Kathy has worked through her own firm to increase the visibility of clients such as the Matthew Shepard Foundation, the Point Foundation, Family Pride, and the Williams Institute. I have affectionately, of course, called Kathy one of the go-to gays when a media outlet needs a solid quote or an informed talking rainbow head. And since she appeared on the show back in February of this year, she's been our show's communications director, which I'm betting she's finding out about right this second.
That's great. Always happy to, you know, have more.
It's a resume builder. Kathy Renna, welcome back to The Show Is So Gay.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
So about 45 seconds ago, Kathy, the U.S. House of Representatives, by a vote of 250 to 175, approved a standalone bill to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the 17-year-old law banning lesbian and gay service members from serving openly in the military. Whoa.
Well, whoa, but, you know, the reality is they've actually done this before.
Right.
I was watching it on C-SPAN thinking, okay, now I know what John Lewis is going to say. God love him. I know what, you know, all the Republican and anti-gay folks are going to say. It's the same arguments we've been hearing for the last 17 years. It's really in the hands of the Senate. But I think that what they're doing procedurally to try and get this thing through by the end of the year is they're doing everything they can. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi deserves a lot of credit for, you know, kind of taking this back and saying, all right, we'll go through this again. Mm-hmm. We did this for you once already, guys. But, you know, let's go through this procedure and try and get this thing repealed by the end of the year. You know, we work with a group called OutServe.
Yes.
Which is a group of, it's really an underground network of openly gay and lesbian and bisexual service members who are active duty. And so, you know, we have to have them speak anonymously to the media. But they're a voice that hasn't been heard. And, you know, they feel like they're in limbo. They can't, you know, they thought this was going to be over, and it just keep, you know, they wake up every morning and it's Groundhog Day.
Right.
So, you know, we're looking forward to a vote in the Senate. We have, I think, some hope. Olympia Snowe said she was going to vote for repeal as of today. I love saying things like, Joe Lieberman tweeted that out. he tweeted that out today. And it's going to be close, but I think we have a fighting chance.
What are we at, like 46, 47 senators?
I think it's close. No, I think they need 60 or...
Well, no, but right now I think that are open. They have openly pledged their support.
I think they have close. I think they need, there are like two or three that are, you know, kind of on the fence, so to speak. So we're, you know, I'm not in Washington right now, but having lived there for many years, I know exactly what's happening, that everyone is now sitting down at 8 o'clock and making deals and trying to get folks to commit one way or another. And, you know, I have to say the organizations have been relentless on this. And
right.
So, you know, if it doesn't happen now, we all know that it's not going to happen for a long time. That would really be a shame.
Let's say that you're in Washington and they say, Kathy, we need you to call some moderate Republicans, senators. What would you call them and say?
Well, you know, I don't know that I'm the best person to call them and say. I mean, people want to hear from their own constituents.
Right.
What we've been trying to do is have folks from OutServe be the ones who are getting in touch and saying, look, you know what? I'm active duty. I'm serving in the Air Force. I'm a Marine. You know, I'm in the Navy. And most of my colleagues know I'm gay or lesbian or bisexual, and they don't care. In fact, the reality is you're putting their jobs at risk, too, because if they know and they don't tell anybody, they can get in trouble.
Right.
So making it real and putting a face on it is what I do. I mean, there's so many people who are doing amazing, you know, work lobbying and mobilizing people to make calls. But the reality is, you know, today we spent some time talking to local media in, you know, key states where there are folks who are on the fence, like Arkansas and West Virginia and Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
Scott Brown, and trying to get the media to write about groups like OutServe and some of the real people issues that
right.
are surrounding this whole thing. And so, you know, that's kind of the leverage point I use. I'm not as I like to say, I don't do politics with a capital P. I do politics with a small P. I don't really have the stomach for being in the Senate well and dealing with all those folks. But there are a lot of different ways to make change happen, and I think our part of it has been has been interesting. We also work with the Palm Center,
yes,
which is a think tank, essentially, specifically on this issue. They came into existence when the policy came into effect back in 1993, and they've been doing research ever since. You know, everybody talks about this Pentagon study, but this Pentagon study is the 23rd study that's been done. I mean, we've studied this thing to death. And any of those folks who stood up today, even in the House, and those that will do it in the Senate, like, for example, John McCain,
right,
would say, well, we need to study this more. I'm like, if we study this anymore, you know, it's just, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And Palm's been really great to work with because, you know, the media needs experts to talk to. You know, they know who the advocates are.
Right.
They know who the folks who have a, you know, have a political stake, and like the folks at OutServe who have a personal stake. But it's really important that they talk to the folks who have done the real research, have talked to our allies, who have transitioned seamlessly to have openly gay and lesbian service members, who can say, you know what, our gay and lesbian service members serve next to U.S. troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. To understand why your policy is the way it is.
Kate Clinton was on the show last week and had some choice words for John McCain. I'm sure that he is an avid listener of this show. Any shout-outs for John McCain, Kathy?
You know, really, just, like, take a look at your calendar. It's 2010.
Right.
Listen to your wife and your daughter.
Right.
You know, what do you say to the guy? He's really gone off the edge on this.
It's unbelievable.
He just will not let it go.
No.
And it's really sad because, you know what? He knows better.
Yeah.
He knows better, and he's honestly, again, you know, politics, not my particular area of expertise, like electoral stuff, but, you know, he's just bitter. I mean, this is a man who wants to do more research and who spent, what, 30 minutes trying to figure out who his vice presidential running mate was going to be. He didn't even Google her, you know. and he wants to do more study about this, which we've studied to death. So, yeah, I mean, it's just sad. It's sad that the vast majority of people in this country want to see this policy repealed, that there are, you know, clearly there's the political groundswell to get this thing repealed. And yet these diehards are, and that's what they're going to do in those chairs. They're just going to get old and die,
right,
you know, are just not willing to move. And the real travesty is that people want this. They know it's stupid. It's like, it's a no-brainer. This job discrimination, I mean, there are a number of issues that are country has moved forward on related to LGBT people. Not everything.
Right.
You know, but really this one is a no-brainer.
Now, I have to tell you, I slipped up when I introduced the news story and said that, and I, you know, how I'm thinking this as I'm talking right now, that I was going to, well, I'll just edit out when I slipped up and said, almost said that Don't Ask, Don't Tell would repeal LGBT folks serving in the military. And we have, and Mara Kiesling will be on the show a little bit later tonight. And so we'll be talking about, you know, where we are with the T in LGBT. Where are, in your estimation, where are we with the T in LGBT?
Well, you know, I it's really interesting. I mean, I've been working in the movement for about 20 years or so now. I fudge because now I'm starting to feel old. But I've been around.
You've been doing it for 3 months.
Yeah, for a long time, yeah. But, you know, the reality is a lot of organizations, you know, they added the B and the T to their mission statements. Most of them haven't added to their names, if you'll notice. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure Mara can talk to you about that. But what I find really fascinating is that we actually have, I think, made a tremendous amount of progress on transgender issues within the movement. And Mara is a huge part of that at NCT. He does amazing work. We actually just started working with, and you'll be hearing more from us in early February, the National Lesbian and Gay Task Force has done, in partnership with NCTE, an extraordinary survey, the largest ever done, of transgender and gender nonconforming people to really get some numbers around their life experience, discrimination, prejudice, you know, barriers to health care, life experience, outcomes, and, you know, from how they're treated by family and mm-hmm. friends and community and church, et cetera. And it's this extraordinary survey. It was done by over 6,000 people. And I think we'll have a real impact. It's a real sort of stake in the ground, particularly from the task force, which has been, you know, on the forefront of understanding the connections between gender identity and sexual orientation. What I find really fascinating, and this is maybe a whole other show topic, but we don't have a national bisexual organization.
No, we do not.
We only have one, I believe, that has any staff, which is in Boston. And I've been for many years a self-professed, open, huge ally of the bi community,
mm-hmm.
and it's really fascinating to me how our community has not moved really very far at all, if at all, on right. this. But on trans issues, I think we're starting to get there. I mean, I think people understand that at the end of the day, homophobia is really rooted in sexism. So it really is all about gender and gender identity and gender expression. And, you know, you notice the people in our community who are the most discriminated against are the ones who are, I think the fancy word is transgressive, you know, but the folks who don't fit in that little box of looks like a girl, looks like a boy.
Right.
You know, as someone who buys her suits at Brooks Brothers and Men's Department, I know that.
You know that.
I do know that. And that's really why I experience the prejudice that I've experienced in my life. Not, you know, because it's as much about that as it is, you know, somebody has to ask to know what your relationships right. are. But if they look at you and you don't fit in a box, then they can react.
Can we turn our attention to San Francisco for a second?
Always.
It's just so easy to do. So a certain little camera shop on the Castro Street has drawn quite a bit of attention as the human as the human rights campaign wants to open up an information center and a gift shop in the building where Harvey Milk had his camera shop. And they have said that it would pay tribute to him, but it's caused a lot of ire.
Well, you know, I love San Francisco. You know, it's a city where I think there's always this amazing sense of entitlement mm-hmm. Around, you know, being the mecca and home of all our issues. And so, you know, HRC, to lots of people, represents the establishment. I mean, they are the establishment of our community, of our movement, right? I mean, they have their own big building, and they have a $45 million budget. And,
right.
And but I think it's hard to, you know, I'm not going to judge. I mean, I have tons of people I work with at HRC. We've worked with literally with HRC as a client. And I also have a lot of respect for the folks who are, you know, who are upset about this and upset about things that HRC has done in the past that I can agree with as well. But let's really look at the situation. I mean, have you been to the Castro recently?
Not recently, no.
The beautiful building that used to be the home of the Gay Men's Chorus is now a diesel.
Oh.
You know, it's completely changed. As my wife joked the other day, she said, well, at least it's not a Starbucks.
Yeah, really.
And I love Starbucks, but, you know, really. It's not the easiest neighborhood, you know, to sell real estate in. It's expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope that they can find a way to have the store be a way for people to get involved in the community. I mean, it's like the one in Washington. I mean, there are computers. You can go. You can find out who your local representative is. You can, you know, yeah, and you can buy a T-shirt, you know. But I can also understand that for those diehard, the Michael Petrellises of the world,
right.
you know, who are live and breathe in San Francisco and have been there for decades and really are the street and grassroots activists, which is where I came from myself. So I can also understand where they're coming from. The interesting thing is a communications person, I know I can say with complete 100% confidence, is like, how did they not think at HRC that they were going to get flack for
right, that? Come on!
Advance, you know, PR, you know, because it is an iconic place.
Yeah.
And to do that and to, you know, they know themselves how they're perceived by a lot of people in the community, particularly in places like San Francisco and New York and other places that are more, they're sort of less like the, you know, the sort of, you know, suited K Street, you know, lobbyists and are going to be upset about this.
Harvey Milk was not particularly shy about his feelings about the establishment.
No, he wasn't at all.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I keep trying to remind myself to do this, and I haven't yet, but I've gotten to know his nephew, Stuart.
Yes.
Who's an extraordinary activist in his own right. Very funny. Talks about how at 14 or 15, the first person he came out to was his Uncle Harvey.
Hmm.
An easy one. I mean, I came out to my lesbian aunt, too, but it was much easier.
Yeah.
I wonder how he's feeling. I haven't seen anything from
him. Yeah, I haven't seen a press release there.
But, you know, we're a diverse movement and a diverse community. And, you know, when HRC sneezes, people have things to complain about. And when any other group, you know, does anything, everybody's going to have a different opinion. So, you know, I just hope that they can find maybe a way to honor his memory and work together with local folks to make it the kind of place that has the spirit of, you know, what Harvey Milk's legacy really
yeah.
is.
Now, I have to say, as a communications director, the people go to all these different websites to gather up all their gay news. I find that the most reliable compendium of LGBT news is your Facebook page.
I appreciate that.
It really is.
That's really funny. I didn't know what you're... I thought you were going to say, like, Pam's house.
Nope, it's your Facebook page.
I like my Facebook
page. I call it Google Alerts for gays.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, I don't just put up the stuff for our clients. I put up stuff that I see that's interesting that's happening in the community. I mean, what's really interesting to me is I was on Twitter, which could blind you this afternoon if you were going...
Oh, yeah.
...hashtag of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So many people were saying, oh, it's been repealed. And I find myself, like, in direct Twitter contact with complete strangers. And I'm like, no, it hasn't.
No, it hasn't.
Like, do we have to watch Schoolhouse Rock? I mean, that's, it's really amazing to me that we're at this point. And there's still that level of ignorance out there that people. So that's why I try and push out stuff as much as I can on Facebook, on Twitter. You know, we obviously do the work we do with media, but, you know, the vast majority of what we do is really focused online now. It's really interesting.
Well, Kathy, I love how I say this all the time to people. I would love having you on the show every week just to talk about the news. I just love your perspective, and you really do gather together all these sources and stress the importance of communication. We are so appreciative.
Well, I appreciate what you do, and I'm so happy to be your communications director.
Yes.
You'll be getting the bill shortly.
Yeah, okay. Ed and Kathy Renna got fired on the air. Kathy Renna, all the best. Thank you so much for what you do.
All right, take care.
I could stand up, go outside, always keep my options wide. Never mind the blinding skies, it all will up and leave you. You could let yourself feel sad, government make the good go bad. Broken token in a subway ad, it all will up and leave you. Keep the faith, don't toe the line, and watch it through your two eyes. Leave the light still on inside, and watch it through to sunrise. Leave the fight and go behind where all the stupid fear dies. Keep the light still on inside and watch it through the sunrise. That one tower's kinda left me dry. Sitting pretty in my own pigsty. Little baby of me wanted to die. It all will up and leave you. Turn the forest to a mud-drenched road. You never tarry to carry the load. This time I'm falling like it's money or own. It all will up and leave you. Keep the faith, don't toe the line, and watch it through your two eyes. Leave the lights still on inside, and watch it through the sunrise. Leave the fight and go behind where all the stupid fear dies. Keep the lights still on inside, and watch it through the sunrise. From 125, and in this time we have. We'll keep the faith, don't toe the line, and watch it through your two eyes. Leave the lights still on inside, and watch it through the sunrise. Leave the fight and go behind where all the stupid fear dies. Keep the lights still on inside, and watch it through the sunrise.
That was some Girly Man for you. I want to give a shout out to Girly Man, one of the members of Girly Man, and as you all know, one of my favorite bands. Doris is dealing with some health issues. So sending all our best out to Doris, to the whole Girly Man family. Hope you make an unbelievable recovery. Love your music. Keep doing what you're doing. And with that, let's welcome another guest. Hey, other guest, are you there?
I sure am.
Oh, that's a good thing. Let me introduce you. Mara Kiesling is the founding executive director of the National Center for Transgender Equality. She has previously co-chaired the Pennsylvania Gender Rights Coalition and then saw the need for a professional transgender voice in the nation's capital. She has almost 25 years of professional experience in social marketing, opinion research. She's received a ton of awards from PFLAG, the Equality Forum, Gay Law, Transgender Law Center, Harvard, Bisexual, Gay, Lesbian, Transgender and Supporters Alliance, and Out for Work, and now she's here to speak with us. Mara Kiesling, welcome to the show, Is So Gay.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So much breaking news out there, Mara. We were just talking with Kathy Renna about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and I actually slipped up on the air in the introduction of the news story and said, and then corrected myself and said, you know, this would repeal LGBT folks serving in the military, but that's not true, is it, Mara?
No, that's not quite true. Transgender people still will not be allowed to serve openly. It is true that sometimes we get caught up in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell process, but that's only because sometimes knucklehead discriminators can't really tell us apart.
Right. I'm not one of them, Mara, I promise. That would make this show terrible if I was one of them.
That would make the show not so good.
Well, let's back up a step. For folks who do not know, tell us all about the National Center for Transgender Equality.
Sure. Well, we're a national social justice organization that focuses on federal policy and issues of national significance for transgender people. Now, while our focus is on transgender people, we very much consider ourselves an LGBT organization. And we very much consider ourselves a social justice organization. I don't know if Kathy happened to mention a survey that MCTE
yes.
completed with the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, but one of the most important and not really surprising things that the report shows is that while the discrimination against transgender people is horrible, it's as horrible as we always thought,
yeah.
It is even worse if you also happen to be a transgender person who is African American or who is Latino or Asian or American Indian, et cetera. It's the intersection of transphobia and racism is a really dangerous place to live.
Mm. Yeah. I'm sitting here. There's a part of me, Mara, that's rolling my eyes in that. We talked a little bit with Kathy about progress in the trans community, but for and by the trans community. But I guess I'm still getting a little bit impatient that we're not more along than we should be.
Well, I think that's a good instinct.
Yeah.
The progress has been really remarkable over the last 10 years, or even more remarkable in some ways over the last 2 years. Certainly, federal policy-wise, it's been really accelerated over the last 2 years. But that being said, you know, we still have an unemployment rate that's, you know, more than two times the national, well, about two times the national average. We have a suicide rate that's 26 times the national average.
Yeah.
We have, you know, people being arrested for being transgender, people being, one fifth of the 6,500 people we interviewed had been homeless at some point.
Right. Jeez.
It's a horrible picture, and, winning these policies is so important, but it's not going to solve the problem. It's hopefully going to make life a little bit easier so the trans people can fix society.
Right.
You know, and help fix society with our other marginalized brothers and sisters.
Are the L's, the G's, and the B's doing enough to help the T's? Are we all doing enough to help each other?
That's the better question, I think.
Yeah.
There are a lot of amazing... first, I should say there are a lot of LGBT people who are T.
Yes, of course.
I happen to be among them. I happen to be both L and T identified. There are a lot of trans people who are gay, a lot of gay people who are trans, a lot of bi people who are trans, et cetera. There's a lot of great people doing a lot of great work, but, trans people could do better on gay work. And gay people could do better on trans work, and we could all do better on bi work.
Oh, yeah.
Supporting bi people. All of us could do much better on anti-racism work. If you watch the national news over the last couple of weeks, you'll see that there's a big, big move to you know, I there's no other way to say it, give tens of billions of dollars to a couple of thousand billionaires.
Yeah.
You know, the middle class and the lower classes are under siege. So I guess, you know, the working class and the non-working class can feel good that the middle class is being slammed down now, too. But it all doesn't portend very well for our country, for our economic system, and for the people at the bottom.
So what I hear you saying is there's perhaps more work to be done.
So much more for all of us to be doing.
Okay, just check it. Now, there is this YouTube clip of you, Mark Easling. It's maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes. I have watched it so many times today, I can't even tell you. It is what I am now calling the Mark Easling four-point plan to creating change. Okay, so I'm gonna set you up for this, and you're going to expand on these 4 points that I have taken from this. Number one, tell your own story. Why is that important?
Well, that's what wins. You know, if you just hear about a gay person or a transgender person, it's this abstract thing. You know, people think when they think of a gay person, they think of Will from Will and Grace.
Right.
Some wealthy, you know, overprivileged person. And by the way, lots of gay people are that.
Yeah.
And they're some of the biggest, most effective leaders and best, most generous people who do our work. But if people just picture one type of person, they don't understand that we're just like them.
Yeah.
So you tell your story to the people in your church. You tell the story to the people in your family so that they understand you're a real person who is like them. That's one.
Okay. Number two, and this was hilarious. Why is it important, Mara, to know what you're talking about? I thought it was just genius because it really is incredible how many lectures and anecdotes I sit through of people who are just making crap up.
Well, 62.5% of all statistics about transgender people are made up. Including that one.
Including that one.
But no, it's not. It isn't really even about that. It's just all of us have an obligation if we're going to be educators,
mm-hmm.
and that's really what our movement has to be about, is
yes.
about educating people and including people so that they can educate. But if we're going to be educators, we have to be aware. You know, we're not trying to get marriage equality because we want it. You know, we're not trying to, you know, pass ENDA because it's top of our agenda.
Right.
You know, we all have an obligation to understand that, you know, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act is so important because there are actually people almost everywhere in this country who are getting fired, who are losing their jobs, losing their careers, which can lead them to lose their families, their homes, their children. And if you don't know that, if you don't understand the fullness of the issues and the solutions, you can't be an effective educator.
All right. This is important. Okay, point number three, do not generalize from the particular.
Yeah. This is something that has always made me crazy. People do it all the time. I do it. But everybody thinks their story is the norm. So you'll always hear LGBT people, but not just LGBT people. You'll hear people say, well, gay people do X.
Right.
Or lesbians are all, you know, Y.
And right.
If you catch yourself saying, all lesbians are, or all black people are, or all immigrants are, I guarantee you, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You need to understand that because you think... Whatever, because, you know, me, because I think ENDA is the top of our federal legislative agenda, doesn't mean that it is for everybody.
Right.
And because I had an okay time transitioning and I didn't lose my family, it doesn't mean that nobody lost their family. You know, it doesn't mean that things are getting better just because it was better for me. So that's why. So don't generalize from your particular case.
All right. And then I have to tell you, this is the one. This is the one that I think we need to do so much work on. Think about your audience.
Fanatical devotion to the Pope.
Hey, he had some topless dancers this week. I don't know if you saw that story, but
I did not.
Oh, you check that one out. But okay. Thinking, well, it's funny, that dovetails nicely into thinking about your audience. So maybe not having the same stump speech or the same education plan for every single audience, right?
That's right. If you want to, what's the best way to use this example? Okay, so think about my coming out experience.
Mm-hmm.
When I came out to my family and my friends and my clients, my neighbors, everybody, I think, understands that what I told my son and the language I used to tell him and the timing I used to tell him were very different than the language I used to tell my clients.
Right.
You know, you tell one of them, you know, I told my son a lot more than I told my clients. I told my best friends even more than I told my son. I told my clients as little as I could and as much as I had to.
Mm-hmm.
And you use language, that they understand. So we often use language as a community, as LGBT people, that is irrelevant outside of the community.
Right.
And the lines aren't always very obvious, but, you know, very often when we, you know, when trans people talk, we might debate the difference between sex and gender. We might debate the difference between transgender and transsexual and, you know, all of this. When we're talking outside of the family, we sometimes have to use different language. So when I talk to a member of Congress, I'm not talking about, I'm not graphically talking about surgical procedures.
Right.
It's not relevant. I'm talking about policy. I'm trying to paint a picture of a particular type of people, particular group of people who needs a particular remedy to a particular problem. And so whenever you're communicating anything, you have to think about who you're saying it to, or they're not going to understand what you're saying.
Now, you just used a word that you used in that YouTube clip as well, and I want to maybe expound further on that. Talk about the importance of that word family, because I don't think maybe everybody gets it, and the importance of the fact that within this community there is a family, and that's so crucial to so many folks.
Yeah. You know, my friend Jessica Xavier had this great song on an album she did called My Sorority.
Okay.
Where she talked about all of the trans women she met at support groups when she was first coming out, and how, you know, every Saturday night they met. And it was a family, and, you know, I know that family, and that family saved my life, and that family is my family.
Yeah.
But so, too, is the larger trans community, my family. We have a lot in common, and we have to as much get along, get together, stand up together, stand up for each other. It's very much the way you do it with your birth family.
Right.
And the LGBT community is also my family. And, you know, I know there's still a small minority of trans people who don't want to be part of the LGBT community, and frankly, small number of gay and bi people who don't want trans people to be smart part of the family. But that doesn't matter, you know? I always say when I came out to my family, I didn't even lose the ones I wanted to lose. And it's kind of that way, you know, with the big LGBT family.
Yeah.
We don't always get along, but we are family. The people who are against us, who strangely seem to be getting louder and louder, you know, they don't like us, any of us, and they want to hurt all of us. And us standing together makes a lot of sense, because we're being attacked together.
Right.
And
exactly.
We succeed or fail together.
Yeah. Let's do some good news. So I was reading about the bill that Jerry Nadler of New York introduced that would ban housing discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, marital status, or source of income. How is that bill looking?
Well, technically speaking, very bad.
Oh.
I mean, it's a great... Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's a great bill. It's a wonderful bill, and Mr. Nadler is a phenomenal supporter and friend of the community. But there's no chance in the next week, while this Congress exists, that bill's going to move. It's
right.
Zero chance, and Mr. Nadler knows that. So he'll reintroduce it in the next Congress.
Mara, I just put it under the category of good news. What are you doing to me here?
Oh, well, no, I'll tell you why it's good news.
Good. Okay, good.
There are 12 or 15 bills that are pro-LGBT bills that were introduced in this Congress. And sure, so far only the Matthew Shepard Act passed.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully we'll still see Don't Ask, Don't Tell repealed. But it is a remarkable progress, despite our impatience, which is well-founded impatience, and it's very important that we have that impatience. But we also should stop and look at the good news, that there are actually members of Congress who are introducing bills. You know, Tammy Baldwin has some great bills, a health omnibus bill, an aging omnibus bill. There's a fair credit bill. There's multiple education bills. And I could tick off all the sponsors of these things. You know, Senator Frank and Senator Casey have done education bills. And, you know, Patrick Murphy, the outgoing congressman from the Philly suburbs, should be one of the biggest heroes for what he's done with Don't Ask, Don't Tell this year.
Right.
That's amazing news. So while it is amazing news that this bill has been introduced and it will eventually pass, it is actually even more amazing news that we have somebody as strong and powerful as Jerry Nadler standing up for us. And something that happened in this Congress that I don't think people sometimes know about is Congresswoman Baldwin and Congressman Frank started the LGBT Equality Caucus. There are now something, I don't remember the exact number now, but something like 82 members of the House of Representatives who have signed up to be in this caucus, meaning they're willing to tell their constituents, I'm with these people. These are my people. I'm them. They're me. Not the three members of Congress who are LGBT people, something like 82 who have been willing to say that. I'd have to check, but I wouldn't at all be surprised if Congressman Welsh, I just don't remember. I'd be surprised if he was not a member.
That would be shocking to me.
Yeah,
that would be shocking to me.
And I should have checked that before I got. But
that's okay.
I mean, that's how amazing it is. I mean, look at the Vermont congressional delegate.
Yay!
I mean, what a wonderful group of supportive people. And by the way, I just want to put in a plug for Senator Sanders and the amazing.
Wow, he did not sit down.
To do in a couple of weeks. No, and it isn't just. You know, it isn't just that one moment.
Right.
I mean, he is always there.
We were quite proud. Look at that. I am generalizing for the entire state of Vermont by saying we were all quite proud. I've really learned the 4-point plan, don't you see?
Yeah. You would have totally failed if you had said, we in Vermont love Senator Schmeltz.
Yes.
Because then you wouldn't have not known what you were talking about.
40% of us believe that that was a great filibuster. So it was really well done. It was really well done. Now, and you know, I know my audience. That's me speaking in front of kindergartners. Now, I was reading the healthcare report.
Yes.
It killed me. I read through it and some stats, and you mentioned that the suicide statistic, but just even the one line of, if medical providers were aware of the patient's transgender status, the likelihood of that person experienced discrimination increased.
Yeah. Yes. It's horrible.
I almost have nothing to say, which doesn't make for a good radio show, but I don't really know what to say.
It's really remarkable. You know, every clinical guideline and understanding that doctors follow will tell you that the more the doctor knows about the patient and the patient's physical and emotional and, you know, psychic being, the better they can treat them. But the truth is, if you're trans and you come out to your doctor, which seems like a really smart thing to do,
it seems makes sense.
You're more likely to face discrimination.
But
you know, 50% of our sample at some point had to train their doctor on how to treat them. That's happened to me, as a matter of fact, where you go in and you say, here's what I need, and they're like, oh, I don't know anything about this.
Oh, my gosh.
And you have to, like, give them books and stuff. The most horrible thing, though, I ever saw was I got a call from a nursing student in Florida who was attending a nursing school, which I guess is what makes her a nursing student.
Well, it comes with the territory.
Yeah. So she was sitting in class on emergency care. And they were talking about the clinical differences between treating men and women in emergency rooms. And the student raised her hand and said, what about transgender people? And the teacher said, oh, when I was in the ER in New York City, we just used to let those freaks die.
Okay.
Now, that's not the mainstream, obviously. That's not every emergency room and every nurse every doctor, but it happens a shocking amount. And there is good news from the survey, because the survey, you know, we document discrimination in employment and mm-hmm. health and education and dealing with the police and getting ID documents. The amazing thing is we were, and this is fresh in my mind because we just finished the report tonight and sent it off to the designer. And the amazing thing is we were reading all of these horrible, horrible numbers and just really absorbing the trauma of it. Justin Tanis from my office said, you know, it's really amazing the resilience and perseverance of this community.
Right.
Because, you know, we have people being, you know, assaulted by their teachers, you know, police officers, doctors, and we keep going. We keep being who we have to be, and we keep doing it with strength and dignity. I'm horrified by the numbers we see in the survey, and yet I am so amazed and proud and strengthened by the perseverance.
Well, I think that the whole track of having to educate, do you get tired of educating? I actually just wrote a piece for some newsletter a few weeks ago that came out today that I am getting a little bit tired of doing some LGBT 101. And quite frankly, I find that when I'm going around and speaking to other colleges and to my colleagues, I find myself having to do really T101. And I'm done. I'm not done, and I'll keep doing it. But I just want to say sometimes, no, you actually just need to know this at this point. We have students coming in who know more than you do, and they're expecting services that you obviously can't provide because you don't know enough. What do you have to say to me who is getting a little bit tired of educating on the 101 level?
Yeah, you know what, Jen? We're winning.
Okay. This is good.
We're getting there, and we're getting there because of that. We're not getting there. Well, I don't want to say that. I deeply respect the work that I'm doing and my colleagues are doing.
Absolutely.
I don't want to demean the work at all that the policy people are doing, the organizing people are doing. But the real work that's getting done, that's winning this for us, is the individual people doing all the training they're doing, whether it's official training or just, you know, telling your mom.
Right.
You know, and standing up, you know, to the bully on Facebook. That's what's winning it for us. And, I mean, I'm 51 years old. When I was in high school, now I'm totally making up this number.
Okay.
I really am, but I think I'm right. So I graduated from high school in 1977. I believe, with no proof, that when I graduated from high school in 1977, there was not a single out trans person in American public schools.
I think that's probably a safe bet.
Yeah. If there were, there were just a small, small handful of really incredibly brave people who were facing just horrid, horrid things.
Yeah.
So now look at it. I mean, every major school system in the country has these students. And that's what's winning this for us. I was in St. Louis meeting with a group called GAY, Growing American Youth, which is an LGBT youth support group. And so I was asking how it was going and were things getting better in St. Louis. And this one kid said, well, I don't know about here, but I live in a town about 25 miles from here, and it's not a very welcoming place. And when I came out 3 years ago, I got beat up, and the teachers were always calling me out, and it was just hell. And there were these two guys in particular who used to pick on me all the time. And, yeah, in 3 years, it's really gotten a lot better. There's now policies in place. There's a GSA. Even one of the two guys who used to always pick on me has now come out.
Wow.
And then he said the amazing thing. He said, I don't know what happened, but something changed. And, you know, sitting here, you know, 1,000 miles away from St. Louis, I know exactly what changed. He changed the school.
Yeah.
Because he came out, and he was there, and he made it seem real, and he was a good person. And when you're just, you know, when you're just some, I'm trying to use the word knucklehead. because I'm trying to lower the hate level.
Good, that's good. We appreciate that.
But you know, knucklehead. I was going to say it because I stopped and tell you why I was using the word knucklehead. So, that's what's happening. So you got to keep doing it. You don't necessarily have to keep going, you know, doing presentations all the time. Although I'm glad everybody's doing those, but you can't stop the, you know, talking to your friends, talking to your parents, talking to your, you know, the folks at your church if you're a churchgoer. That's why we're winning. And also, you know, I'd really urge people. I've added a new thing to. I'm fortunate enough I get to speak a lot. And I added something about a year ago that I'm really proud of, and I don't know if it's doing any good, but every time I speak now, I also make sure I fit in a message about anti-racism and about being pro-immigrant, or at the very least, to not be anti-immigrant.
You're right.
It's an anti-immigrant thing. You know, this is a country that is about immigrants, always has been, but even if that weren't true, we just have an obligation to each other to be humane. And right now we live in a country that is not humane to immigrants. And I want that back. I want my country to be a good, humane country. Nobody in the world is more patriotic than I am. But that doesn't mean I can't, you know, call us out when we're screwing something up. And right now we're screwing it up bad for immigrants.
Right. What do you do to recharge? Oh, Mara, come on.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the most comforting and amazing things to me is my dog.
Okay.
I got a dog to come and live with me about 4 years ago. Her name is Puffington.
Puffington.
And she is now looking at me because I'm saying her
name. Treat? Is there a treat?
I'm not going there. You know, she's done a couple things. She means I have to be home every night.
Okay.
You know, I can't stay in the office till midnight. I can still work, but I at least have to come home to do it. And it's, you know, since my son was younger, I haven't had anybody that I was responsible to that directly. And I think it really helps ground me, and that helps recharge me. Plus, I'm so lucky that I get to travel around and meet like amazing, wonderful people, and I do. I'll just tell you. You know, for somebody who's a progressive, like I am, somebody who cares about working families and working people, and then people who can't quite get the breaks to be working people, I had one of these dream moments tonight. These humbling moments that are very recharging for me. I got to go to a Pride at Work reception. Pride at Work is the LGBT affinity group at the AFL-CIO.
Okay.
And they're a good advocacy group. It's not just an affinity group. But they were having a reception tonight, and I was asked to help give an award to the NAACP.
Oh, wow.
So that I mean, for somebody who was raised, you know, to be a progressive and who, you know, deeply feels being a progressive, to get to stand in the Samuel Gomfers room at the AFL-CIO as the executive director of the National Center for Transgender Equality.
And give that award. Wow.
Give an award to the NAACP. That's sort of mind-blowing and recharging and really reminds me of the larger social justice work that I'm so fortunate that I get to do. I mean, you know how much work you put into the education.
Yeah.
I get to do it as my job, and I get to be invited on radio shows in cool places.
And I think everybody needs to walk away with the message that everyone needs a Puffington.
Oh my God, get a Puffington!
I want to coin that phrase. You need a Puffington when people get frustrated.
Yes.
Let's see if we can't get that to catch on. We should get that to catch on.
She's still the only Puffington out there.
Well,
and get her from a shelter.
Always. Always. Now, where, Mara, can people go to learn more about all the cool work that you and your colleagues are doing?
Spain.
Okay, we can go to Spain.
No. Our website is transequality.org. T-R-A-N-S.
Yes, yes.
Equality.org.
Anything coming up that we need to know about?
There is our lobby day and policy weekend in March, where we're going to have hundreds of trans folks and allies in D.C. to do some policy advocacy, both on the Hill and with the administration. We're going to have caucuses of, you know, affinity or interest groups within trans and ally world. So that's going to be pretty exciting.
I want to go.
We would love to have
you. Okay, I'm going to look at that. That sounds fantastic.
And I just have to tell everybody that I was so honored that I think you requested to be my Facebook friend today.
Of course.
So I'm very excited about that.
Well, I have to tell you, I don't think that we talk about trans issues enough on this show. And so I'm a little bit frustrated about that, even as I'm sitting here talking to you. And I think that there's a ton more work to do. But the overwhelming emotion right now is I'm just so appreciative of all the amazing work that you and your colleagues are doing to give voice to a community that always needs a voice. I mean, we all need a voice, but I think that it's so easy to just let LGBT roll off your tongue and say, well, we're doing everything we can for everyone, and have you challenge us to say, but there's more that we can do. It really is hugely important to provide more voice, and I hope you know how much that's appreciated.
Well, Ken, thank you, and I really appreciate all the work you're doing. And I guess, you know, I would also say make sure you challenge us to be doing good work for LBs and Gs.
There you go.
You know, we have that. That is our obligation as well. And also, feel free to have me and other trans people on your show sometimes to talk about gay stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, on behalf of 93% of all Vermonters, as I will tell their stories, thank you so much for everything that you do. And we want you back on the show. Is that a deal?
I would love to come on anytime.
Thanks so much. That was Mara Kiesling from the National Center for Transgender Equality. I'm going to actually issue an on-air correction right on the spot. My sister Melissa, who is listening to the show right now, correctly highlighted that I pronounced Congressman Nadler's name wrong. I was using the French pronunciation, Le Nadler. If you just slur it together, it works. So thank you for that correction, and I apologize to the congressman who's doing such fantastic work. And that, honestly, brings us to the end of a pretty darn jam-packed show. There's other news out there, and I encourage you to look up what's going on, particularly in Germany. They're saying that an HIV-positive German man received a stem cell transplant to treat his leukemia, and weeks later, he showed no signs of HIV in his bloodstream. Now, 3 years later, and after a round of chemotherapy in 2008, Timothy Ray Brown continues to show no signs of being HIV-positive. So that story is definitely rocking the LGBT world, and we'll see how that turns out. But there's tons of other stories out there. Jimmy Carter is apparently ready for a gay president. Look these things up. So, so, so important to educate yourself. That's how we change the world. That's how we change the world. So please, please drop us an email. Been receiving a ton of emails this week and so appreciative. Had a great shout out from our buddy Troy at thenewgay.net in a lovely and unexpected shout out to This Show Is So Gay. Thank you so much, Troy. It is enormously, enormously appreciated. So drop us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. You can do it even while we're right on the air, like Melissa just did, to say, hey, you know, you pronounced his name wrong. We'll take it. We need that feedback. So drop us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com, and it just got completely retooled. So you got right there on the homepage, upcoming guests, and then you can now click on a guests tab to see all the guests we've had over the past 108, 109 shows and link right to their podcasts. And as always, if you are a fan of the Facer book, go on over to Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, and please like us, because we sure as heck like you. Have an amazing week. Go educate yourself. Read up on some news stories. Give voice to your own story and help somebody else out. And above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
simple day outside. The sun is the only thing shining, not a cloud in the sky, no hint of you. And I will always regret ever hearing your best secrets and your mind with all its witty jokes. Your hand restless, reaching for another smoke. And you see how I miss you so. I just don't know how to make myself let you go. And I still can't seem to find a simple way to say goodbye. Not the kind for regret. Doubts, I know with no doubt that you're resting somewhere great. Can you see how I miss you so?